You know, we've all been there, right? Sitting there trying to let a 5-year-old win at tic-tac-toe.
Yeah, trying to make it look convincing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what if, like, instead of dumbing ourselves down, we could just crank up the difficulty level of the game itself?
You mean like instead of playing against a human, build an opponent that can actually challenge us?
Exactly. An AI opponent.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're going to dive into today. Brian Corvin's got this awesome Medium article, Over-Engineering Tic-Tac-Toe.
Oh, I like this already. Over-engineering is my specialty.
Mine too. But yeah, Corbin breaks down how to build a tic-tac-toe AI, step by step. It's cool because he starts really basic and then gets into some really powerful algorithms.
I'm guessing most people probably don't even realize there are complex algorithms for tic-tac-toe. Isn't it just like a simple game of X's and O's?
You'd think so, but that's the thing about these algorithms. They're not just for tic-tac-toe,
Right. They illustrate broader concepts used in like finance and robotics, all sorts of things.
Totally. So, like, Corbin starts with this basic random strategy. The bot just picks squares randomly.
Right, like someone who's never even seen a tic-tac-toe board before.
Exactly. And I mean, it's a start, but definitely not very smart, right? That's where the real fun begins, with the mini-max strategy.
Okay, so Minimax, this is where things get strategic.
So strategic. Imagine this, an opponent that can basically see the entire game, every possible move, before even making a move.
It's like having a crystal ball, except this crystal ball is actually an algorithm analyzing every possible outcome.
Exactly. That's Minimax. And the cool thing Corbin points out is that Minimax is all about, like, minimizing your chances of winning, not just about winning itself.
Right. It's playing to win, but also to make sure you have the absolute worst possible outcome. Or, well, the worst outcome for you, that is. Best outcome for the AI.
Exactly. And he mentions how Minimax prefers to win fast, like a true tactician.
Totally. Though you can imagine, in a larger, more complex game like chess, Minimax would take forever to calculate all those possibilities, right?
Yeah, it sounds pretty computationally heavy. There's got to be a limit to how far you can take it.
Exactly. Tic-tac-toe, it can handle, but even then, it can be more efficient, which is where alpha-beta pruning comes in.
Pruning, is that like a gardening term?
Kinda. Remember that massive decision tree Minimax creates?
Yeah, all the possible moves and outcomes.
Right. Alpha-beta pruning basically trims off the branches that are like clearly not going to lead to a good outcome.
So it's like it's focusing its analysis only on the most promising paths.
Exactly. Much more efficient, especially when you start thinking about more than two players.
Oh, right, because then things get really wild.
Definitely.
Can Minimax even handle that? I mean, it's called Minimax, not Maximum Chaos.
Well, that's where its limitations become clear. Minimax is really built for a two-player, zero-sum situation. One winner, one loser. Add in more players, and things get way more complicated.
So Minimax is out. What happens when you do want to play multiplayer tic-tac-toe?
Well, Corbin talks about this other strategy called Maxen.
Max-N.
Yeah, Maxen.
Sounds kind of like a superhero name or something.
Right, but the N actually stands for any number of players. So, like, Maxen can handle two players, three, four, however many you want.
Okay, so it's designed for those more complex games. But how does it, like, actually work? I mean, with more players, there are so many more possibilities.
It's actually pretty similar to Minimax in that it, like, builds that decision tree, right? It evaluates each move, but instead of just considering your moves and its own, it's looking at every single player on the board.
Woo! It's like it's playing multiple games at the same time in its head.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, constantly recalculating, figuring out the best move to make given what everyone else might do.
That's incredible. But, like, what about the human element? People do unpredictable things, right? Alliances, betrayals. Can Maxen really account for that?
You're getting at a really interesting point, and Corbin actually touches on this other strategy. It's called the paranoid strategy, and it takes a much simpler approach.
Paranoid strategy. Is it like scared of losing or something?
Well, kind of. Imagine you're playing, and you just assume that everyone else is working together to stop you from winning.
So it's not even trying to analyze each player individually. It's just like everyone's out to get me.
Exactly. Which sounds kind of crazy, but, in a multiplayer game, it can be surprisingly effective.
I guess if you're always expecting the worst, you're less likely to be caught off guard.
Exactly. And that can lead to some pretty smart moves, even if they're not based on this like deep analysis of everyone's individual motivations.
So we've got Minimax for two players, Max-N for when things get crowded, and the paranoid strategy for when the AI just wants to survive.
Right.
But Corbin doesn't stop there. He talks about one more algorithm, Monte Carlo tree search.
Yeah.
And this one sounds really complicated.
It's actually really elegant. This is where things get really interesting.
Really interesting. How? What makes it so elegant?
Well, instead of like trying to map out every single possible outcome in advance, you know, like Minimax or Maxin,
right.
Monte Carlo tree search, it basically just dot plays.
Plays, like by itself.
Yeah, it runs tons of simulations, thousands of games, super fast.
So like it's playing against itself to get better.
Exactly. And each time a game ends, it looks at the outcome, you know, did it win, did it lose? And then it adjusts its strategy accordingly. Wins reinforce certain moves. Losses make it less likely to choose those paths again.
So it's like it's learning from its mistakes.
Exactly. Trial and error. Just like how we learn. It's a form of reinforcement learning, actually.
So this Monte Carlo thing, it's not just limited to tic-tac-toe, right? I mean, learning from experience, that seems pretty universal.
Exactly. Like, think about robots learning to navigate a room or, you know, those financial algorithms that make trading decisions. They use similar principles.
Wow. So this stuff is actually used in the real world.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Yeah. It's pretty amazing how these, like, seemingly simple game algorithms can be applied to such complex real-world stuff.
It really makes you appreciate the power of like just basic logic and math.
Absolutely. And the creativity of it all too, right? I mean, someone had to come up with these strategies in the first place.
That's true. So to wrap things up, we went from basic random moves to AI that's basically thinking for itself, learning as it goes.
Yeah, from X's and O's to like, whoa, the future is here.
Exactly. All thanks to Brian Corbin and his, what was it called?
Over-engineering tic-tac-toe.
Right. Over-engineering tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
Great article. Everyone should check it out.
Definitely.
So next time you're facing off against a tic-tac-toe opponent, you know, maybe give a little nod to the hidden world of algorithms that might be at play.
Who knows? You might be up against a Monte Carlo master and not even realize it.
That's right. This has been another deep dive. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.